Tonight is a night on missions. I asked Pastor Ronaldo to share something, and I'm going to share something for a few minutes about missions, because Sunday night we're going to have a special service here on missions, and we're going to go through it and think about it and prepare for the summer. Pastor Randy Rollins flew back tonight from Colombia. He said, I had 32 young 20-year-old Colombians gathered around Manny and Sandin around us on the last night. He said, there's so much hunger, and they're hungry. You know, what are they hungry for? I don't know. Maybe they want to know Americans. Maybe they want to listen to English. Maybe they're looking for a way to get out of the country. I do not know. But I know that there's a storm. And I know there's people like us who have a message. And many of them are looking for God, and they find him. Hallelujah. So this summer, let's go to certain places that God will lead us to in missions. Let's plan on it and think about it and pray that God will send and God will do a work. Not only this coming summer, but through the years. And I know we've been doing this, and it's very fruitful. And it's not hard. It's the will of God. It's the will of God that we live by faith. It's the will of God that we live by faith. It's the will of God that we pray by faith. And we go by faith. So I'm excited about it. I have two things. Is Jack Wheatley here, Pastor Jack Wheatley? Okay, Pastor Jack, you want to sit over there? Can we pull you on up over there from Chicago? Yeah, Pastor Jack, sit on up over there. Good to see you. Wow, good. You're all dressed up. All dressed up, nowhere to go, and you got special shoes on. Preaching shoes. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, Yeah, and then Bill Enzor and Patty, okay, infection, he's sick, he has some infection, and it's serious, and we're going to intercede right now in the faith fields of our fellowship, Lord, we pray. In the name of your Son, God. In Jesus' name. Oh God, every bacteria is subject to you. Everything on the earth is subject to you. You are sovereign. You are God. You are mighty. You are powerful. You can put down one and raise up another. You can storm the sea. You can heal disease. You can cast out a demon. You can raise the dead. You can create the universe with one word. You are God. You are our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our living, almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for this family, Lord, and cast all this bacteria out of his body. And please heal his body. We pray it by faith. Bless the service and stir in our hearts to be pastors, to be servants, to be missionaries, to be women of God, men of God, people of faith, and do the right thing in life and find you, not by sight, but by faith. To live not by sight, but to live by faith. Bless the service in your name. Amen. Could you turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 13, and I want to continue on our introductory thought about our walk by faith in the local assembly and then missions. This is Acts 13, and we'll start in the beginning of the chapter. Read the verse, make a few points, and then and finish. And then Pastor Ronaldo can come up and share whatever is on his heart tonight. Sunday night, we'll have different speakers, some testimonies. I wanted you to give a shout out to Pili Krama tonight. Is Pili here in the audience? Yeah, here she is. Pili is an amazing person, minister in China, studies master level Chinese language at the same time ministering like she does as a woman of God. Where did she come from? But from God, she did. She came from God. You know, when we find a church, when we come in and we find God, and God is in the church, and we start to grow and live by faith, and we get over the storms, our part of life, but Jesus is on the boat. That's the principle. We all have storms, but Jesus is on the boat and he speaks and he says something and he has the authority to change our lives. How many of you are followers of Jesus tonight? Very, very slow response. How many of you are followers of storms? What do you call that? You chase the hurricane or the tornadoes. Storm watchers? Chasers. How many of you are storm chasers? You chase the scandal, the weakness, the bad report, the evil report. But then there are those that find, and we find Jesus Christ in faith. Sometimes the manifestation of God is very tender, very gentle, and he gives you a heart to hear and love righteousness. I want to love righteousness. I want to love God. I want to find truth. I hate iniquity. I hate adultery. I hate stealing. I hate lying, Psalm 101. I hate false gods. Somebody said to me in Federal Hill when we were soul winning Saturday, a young man said to me, I talked to him about God. He said, oh, there are many gods. There are many gods. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. I go, okay. I said, how many mothers do you have? He said, I have one. I said, is she alive? No, she has passed away. It doesn't matter. You have many mothers. Many mothers. There are many mothers. And I could tell, of course. He didn't neglect that. Now, don't pay any attention to it. She's one. There's many mothers in this world. There are many mothers. And he got my point. There are many gods, but there is one God. That true God. The only wise God. When we find him, the Spirit moves. I read a great missionary newsletter from Daniel Timothy, who lives in Zimbabwe, and he gave stories about people that have changed lives. 50-year-old man, 12-year-old child, a policeman, you know, a welder. I read the stories, and then also he's got 300 chickens that they're raising to sell for a little more income. And I was thinking, and then he's got a WhatsApp. He's got 200,000. He believes he has 200,000 people that are getting information downloaded on his WhatsApp ministry. I thought, well, he's an unsung hero. Then I thought about our ministry, and I was walking around the room here tonight praying about 4 o'clock in the afternoon or so, 5, 6, praying in this room. And I was thinking, God, how many missionaries like Pili Krama, Daniel Timofty, how many like Donna Parsons, the Moon family, how many people are ministering out there in the world, and they've been sent? Look at Acts 13, please. my voice might start to decline, so then I finish quickly. Verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mananean, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, this is a work of God. It's a mystery. We pray. We gather. We have a lot of time. We have a lot of joy. We rejoice a lot. A lot. Rejoice a lot. Be very carefree and very, very encouraged in life. The storm is there, but Jesus is on the boat, and make a big deal about Jesus. Make a big deal about him in your heart and learn to listen to him. Read good things from great men of God. Read and keep your heart on mind on the important things, the mission, the vision. 7.7 billion people in the world, and many of them do not have a church, do not have a pastor, do not have a fresh message. Many of them have not met a missionary, have not met somebody like you or I. Verse 2, the Spirit spoke. Verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Sent. Not for a job. Sent to a mission. Just sent by God. Sent. When I traveled years ago, I would meet people, they would go to jobs for Iraqi defense. They worked for Blackwater. I have one guy I remember him, a security guy. I have some travel for oil. I have some travel for military, some travel. But how many ministers, how many people travel for God? Wait, what are you going for? Not money, not people, not to get an advantage, not a company, not oil, not nothing. No gold anywhere, nothing except people. That I would like this kind of an assembly with faith fields that come from God in the presence of God to be in Nepal or Albania or Vietnam or some faraway little island in the South Pacific. And I'd like to one little boy with a brown face with no shoes on in the sand look up at you in your face and say with a huge smile, Jesus Christ came to me last night. And you're as a missionary saying, what do you mean? I was in the meeting and God kept me up all night. God spoke to me. He's changed my life. God has saved me. God has taken the drug away. God has taken away the sex problem. God has taken away the addiction. God has taken away the depression. God has taken away the fear. He has taken away the demons. Pastor Gromov was ministering in Turkmenistan, and he met an old Russian soldier who had fought in Afghanistan, and he stayed. And he became a drug addict, an opium addict. And the man said to Pastor Gromov, I hear what you're saying, but I've got to tell you, I have not slept one night for 5 years. I am in torture by my drug addiction. My body is deteriorating. I am very sick. I have not slept one night. Pastor Gromov said, Christ, do you believe in Christ? He said, yes, You must put your trust in the man. Said, yes, I will. Well, could I sleep tonight? Pastor Grumo said, yes. The next day, the man met him. He said, I slept all night. Then for three days, they anticipated the withdrawal. It never came. The man got off of heroin without any withdrawals because Jesus Christ is real. Amazing. God sets apart Barnabas and Saul for some work. I don't know how it works, but I know that we are the church and we are praying and we are part of the process. Barnabas and Saul need to be in a place where they can learn, where they can serve, where they can show up, just show up. One missionary board, this old pastor said to a candidate, he said, actually, I have the paper there. He said to the candidate, he said, meet me at 3:00 in the morning. You want to go to the mission field? Meet me at 3:00 in the morning. The man showed up at 3:00 in the morning. And then the pastor waited until 8 in the morning to interview him. And then he interviewed him and he said, how do you spell the word baker? He said, B-A-K-E-R. Well, what do you know about mathematics? He said, what's two times two? He said, 4. And then the pastor reported to the board. He said, I tested the man. I tested the man and he passed. They said, how did you test him? He said, I asked him to show up at 3 in the morning in the freezing cold and I kept him waiting until 8. And he never complained. He never asked why. Then I asked him 2 silly questions. And he didn't in any condescending manner say or question what I was saying or what I was doing. He said, I tested his humility. I tested to see his character. And I believe that this young man is capable of doing this work. I would modify the story a little bit. I mean, if we were to do it that way, but I think you get the point. A local church is a good place to get tested. A local church is a good place to grow up. Verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. I'll just finish with this. They were sent. When I read this, I kind of shake my head like this. I go, I don't know much, but I know that's true because I have felt it. I have felt it. I like to think about the young people, and I like to think about all of us in this great mission. Do you know that back years ago, Protestants were one missionary in 5,000 people, but the Moravians had one missionary went for every 60 people. And the Moravians went to Labrador, they went to Greenland, they went to South Africa, they went to many remote places, 1732, 1737, 1722, in those early years. And they gave up everything. They never went back home again, many of them. Never saw home. Many of them dying out in the mission field. Because they understood that I'm going to live by faith in what God has said and do his will. And God sends me. He sends me. It might be hard, but there's joy that is unspeakable. It might be challenging, but God is with me in the challenge. We might get in trouble, but it's okay if it's for the right reason. Missions. It is forgotten that one missionary who went out with his wife and child, and they had a very hard time, and his wife died, his child died. He came back home, and he slipped into the prayer meeting at the back of the meeting. And they didn't know he was there. And he said, you sent us out, But when I came into this prayer meeting tonight, I was hoping you would say our names, that you would remember us, that you would hold the ropes. You know how Paul was put over the basket in Damascus and they're holding the ropes as Paul is in the basket escaping for his life. And the missionary said, I thought I would hear my name. I thought you would be remembering me, but now I come back devastated and hurt. My wife has died, my daughter has died, and I am come home to die. I am very discouraged. That lesson is not very encouraging, but it is something to think about. Do we know the names of our people? Do we know what we are part of? Do we know how important it is to remember? Do we know what it is that we're actually doing? That we're actually bringing the greatest message with the greatest commission, with the greatest spirit, for the greatest reason, from the greatest God, for the greatest purpose, to accomplish the greatest goal, and for souls to get saved and people to be going to heaven and the devil to be rebuked. And I have seen the wicked spreading themselves like a big bay tree, Psalm 37. But then I've seen God come and cut it down. Hallelujah. I have seen big trees cut down. Hallelujah. I'm so happy about it. I have seen big trees cut down, big, powerful Soviet trees cut down, communist trees cut down, politician trees cut down, government party trees cut down, false God trees cut down, wicked people cut down. Have you seen any of that happening? It does happen. But we're part of something. It's called the little stone in Daniel 2:45. That little stone hits the image. It turns to dust. Have you ever leaned on an old building or something and it just crumbles? Have you ever leaned on a fence somewhere and kind of just boom, it's gone? Eaten by worms, eaten by termites, hollowed out. Much of life is like that. Empty shell like things that are all around us, and you push on them a little bit of pressure, and the thing deteriorates, turns to dust, because it's based on lies. It's empty living, empty shallow excuses, empty fallacies, pride and emptiness that is in the heart of man. But missions, imagine worldwide missions. Imagine Jesus Christ being raised from this dead and saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And we don't have to fear man. We fear God. And then saying, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. And I tell you, God is with us in it. If you are right with God, God's hand is on your life. If you walk by faith in the boat with a storm and Jesus gets up and he takes care of business and you say, who are you? And he said, you are related to me. I am your Savior. I am your God. You listen to me and you follow me and you be serious about it. And you get right with me and walk with me and you fear me and trust me. And I will help. I will do it. I will guide you. I will send you. Paul and Barnabas went in John. They met a demonic man. Well, what a great mission. Sent into the place where the demons are everywhere. Sent into a place where the sorcerer is in power. Sent into a place where there's a confrontation with a man of God and an evil man named Elymas in verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Ooh, contest. Missions is looking for the contest. Missions is to go where angels fear to tread. Missions is a mission. Missions is prayer. Missions is faith. Missions is God's plan. And it's a paradox. You may lose something, but you gain something else. You gain a purpose and a mission. And you might say, Pastor, I live in Baltimore. I live in Rosedale. And I say, you are on a mission. If you are in this church, you are on a mission. We are on a mission. Wherever, whatever church you go to, actually in God's plan, wherever that is, we are on a mission. But I'm so happy we are doing what we are doing. I think it is unusual. I know it is. But I know there's great reward. I know it's not the common way, but it's our way. I know it's different. I love the difference. I love what we do. I love how we think. I love what we believe in. It's the purpose that God has for us. And you know, when you're washing dishes, you think with God. When you come into this room, you're thinking with God. When we assemble together, we're thinking with God. When we meet for Eurocon, we're thinking with God. When we have our convention here in June, we're meeting these people. And we're listening to the stories. And we're saying, what do you think? And they're saying, I just want to be a faithful laborer because I know that God is in it. I don't understand it all, but I'm not going to depart from the old landmarks. I don't understand everything about it, but I believe in godly living. I'm not sleeping with my girlfriend before I get married to her. I'm not making out with her around the corner somewhere. I'm not stealing money from anybody. I'm not lying and cheating. I'm broken before God. I have times of pride or arrogance. I have times of confusion or trouble, but I know what to do. Jesus is on the boat. And I say, Jesus, what's going on? And he says, I am the Holy God. I will fill you, satisfy you, build you up. I will teach you love. I will guide you in the way to go, and I will teach you how to pray to me. And we get to pray with God. And maybe one day, somebody lays hands on you, and it's amazing. If somebody lays hands on me in the plan of God, some man of God, some work of God sets us apart to be used. And one day when that happens, we just say, I don't understand how this whole thing goes, but I'm going to live by faith. And then when you live by faith in God, you open your mouth and there's some power that is from God with you in your life. You have some counsel and you have some wisdom that comes from God. You have a prayer meeting and people gather around you and they want to pray with you and they want to be with you. They just want to jump in your car, be with you, be part of your life because you are a holy man of God. Not just a man of God, a holy man of God. A man that is holy, that God walks with and talks to. Wow. And there you go. Our Bible school is big on my heart. Our Bible college is big. It's a big thing. It's a big thing on my heart. Our Bible college, for our people to get it and be very serious about this amazing book and to hide it very patiently over a long period of time, learn what is in this book and to be serious about it. God will help you. God will guide you. And one day, it'll happen. God will send you, and you'll be doing something somewhere, and you'll just have a sense that God did it. God prepared you. God raised you up. God uses you, and you have a ministry, and it's needed everywhere in this world. The rice paddies in Vietnam, the mountains of southern China, everywhere, the cities of Tokyo and Moscow, everywhere, everywhere. In this country, everywhere, yeah. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for this season that we're in our church. We are looking toward the summer and missions. We're looking towards next year and missions and putting teams together and praying for missions. We don't know where to go. We need you to guide us, Lord. We don't know where to go. We don't know how it's going to be paid for. We don't know how it happens, but we're people of faith, and you will do it. And in the long-range vision of it, we pray for the work day by day in our hearts to hear you and follow you. Help us follow you day by day in every aspect, in every detail. That confession of sin, repentance, would be part of our life. And we bring it before you in the light of your countenance and teach us to be spirit-filled people that walk by faith in the finished work. And send us in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.